and in the motion of the moon. All these showed behavior that did not fit Newton's theory. We now know that the explanation of the anomalies in the motion of the comets and the moon had nothing at all to do with the fundamentals of the theory of gravitation. Halley's and Encke's comets do not behave as had been expected from calculations using Newton's theory, because in these calculations, one did not know the correct way to take into account the pressure exerted by gases escaping the rotating comets when the comets are heated as they pass close to the Sun. And similarly, the motion of the Moon is very complicated, because the Moon is a rather large object, and therefore subject to all sorts of complicated tidal forces. With hindsight, it is not surprising that there appeared to be discrepancies in the application of Newton's theory to these phenomena. Similarly, there were several suggestions of how the anomaly in the motion of Mercury could be explained within Newtonian theory. One possibility that was being taken seriously at the beginning of this century was that there might be some kind of matter between Mercury and the Sun that causes a slight perturbation to the Sun's gravitational field. There is nothing in any single disagreement between theory and experiment that stands up and waves a flag and says, "I am an important anomaly." There was no sure way that a scientist looking critically at the data in the latter part of the 19th or the first decade of the 20th century could have concluded that there was anything important about any of these solar system anomalies. It took theory to explain which were the important observations. Once Einstein had calculated in 1915 that general relativity entailed an excess precession of Mercury's orbit equal to the observed value of 43 seconds per century, this, of course, became an important piece of evidence for his theory. In fact, as I will argue later, it could have been taken even more seriously than it was. Perhaps it was the variety of other possible perturbations of Mercury's orbit, or perhaps it was a prejudice against validating theories by pre-existing data, or perhaps it was only the war. At any rate, the success of Einstein's explanation of Mercury's precession did not have anything like the impact of the result from the 1919 eclipse expedition that verified Einstein's prediction, and the deflection of light by the Sun. So, let us now turn to the deflection of light by the Sun. After 1919, astronomers went on to check Einstein's prediction in a number of subsequent eclipses. There was one eclipse in 1922 visible in Australia, one in 1929 in Sumatra, one in 1936 in the USSR, and one in 1947 in Brazil. Some of these observations did seem to yield a result for the deflection of light in agreement with Einstein's theory, but several others found a result that seriously disagreed with Einstein's prediction.